Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Pirates get a big win, 83-71 over Canisius, the Griffins, and I think I can finally breathe, Bubba Rosenbaum. I was sweating. I don't know if can you still see me sweat? Because I was sweating because I thought maybe, just maybe, we might cough up that game. Thank goodness they ran out of time, because if we had more time, we might be talking about an L and not a W. But, hey, that was not in the cards tonight. We get the second win of the season. Two games down, two wins, two victories. Bubba, how did you feel overall?
Very much like Coach Dooley expressed in the post-game remarks that you'll hear here in a few minutes. Mostly good. And then, you know, for there in the last eight and a half minutes, it was a struggle. But we found a way to you know, kind of get things under control there when it started to spiral out of control after leading 29, I should say, 74 to 45, and they got it down to 13 with just under 5 minutes to play, and you know, very much in doubt at that point. But your coach got Tremont and then, you know, the veteran guards back in there, and we got it back up to about 18 or 20, and were able to hold off Canisius.
Yeah, and let's give them credit, because they definitely were a good team. So even though people may not know who they are, they did have a good team, and that you could tell those guys had played together for a while. It looked like that to me, just like with our team, but especially they just couldn't finish tonight. But we'll get into that in just a little bit. Bubba, very excited to have with us tonight a guy that definitely – knows how to shoot the rock. I bet he can still shoot the rock still now. What do you think?
I know he can. He it hasn't been long since he hung up the sneakers, but now he's living here in the greater Charlotte area, my neck of the woods, just 25 minutes down the road from me. I'm very excited to welcome back to the program Gabe Mikulas. Gabe, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Very happy to be back on the show and back at ECU and watch the Pirates get a win tonight.
Great to get a dub, and I know you were at practice yesterday. Gabe, this team is full of shooters. You know how to shoot the rock. I'm really happy with – I think that Dooley went out – when you look at the transfer portal, when you look at the JUCO route, when you look at the incoming freshmen – I will tell you something. Nobody, you know, you hear Cy Seymour, who's now doing the ESPN Plus games, now, and the broadcast with Patrick Johnson, two of our good friends. But he always talks about his right. Joe, nobody works harder than Joe Dooley. He says that all the time. Nobody works harder than Joe Dooley. And I think when you look at these, we definitely upgraded. We needed to have three-point shooting. Our guard play, we need to have guys that really could compete in the American. And the one thing that I noticed tonight, I want to bring up to you first, so I'm getting old and so I won't forget. Before, we had players that were not American players that we were trying to so hard. They would give you the effort, and we were trying so hard to compete against the Memphises of the world, the Cincinnatis of the world, the Houstons of the world, and then the league we call the American. I tell you what I noticed tonight. We've got guys that can compete in the American. I think it's early on. Maybe you can talk about chemistry, but they're making uncharacteristic mistakes that they normally wouldn't make, like for the turnovers. We'll get to that later on. Bubba's the stats guy, not me. But for me personally, I was really happy to see that the talent is definitely there in the Joe Dooley era, back that he's back with us now at Greenville.
Yes, I think Coach Tool is going to bring so much energy into this team. I mean, I watched the practice yesterday, you know, the night before the game, and, you know, they're going at it. I mean, they're going at it. And he's pushing them and pushing them. The whole coaching staff is in there putting a lot of energy into these guys, and they practice hard. I mean, they practice hard. They went at it. You know, they don't take this off, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't, because they have talent. They just, you know, all they need to do is put in the work and build a team. You know, they have guys that can shoot, they can pass the ball. So now you're going to make them play defense, make them get rebounds, and then you can have a team that can compete in the American League.
Oh, yeah, and the American is no slouch when it comes to, again, it's going to be a great league this year. One of the things that I'm interested to see, Gabe, you, I want you to talk about one of the things we talked about in the pre-show, the green room, if you will, before we started the show, is the fact when we were talking about COVID. I'm interested to see how this team responds now that we're hopefully past COVID and we can have a real basketball season again.
Yes, that's going to be the key, you know, see how they respond. You know, it's been a different season, the last one, and now having the fans back and, you know, being able to start practicing with the whole team. And now you start, you know, traveling and being past the COVID worst era. Now, you know, now you can practice, and now hopefully this is gonna, you know, be good for the team. And you know, you got some young team, some young guys that you gotta prepare. I had them ready for conference play, so now they have, you know, 2 good months that they can practice and they can get ready, and I think they're going to be.
Now, Gabe, obviously you're a front court player. Talk about your impressions of some of those front court players that East Carolina has on this roster. You have Alonzo Frank and coming in from South Carolina. He was going to be the starter at center from everything we had heard, at least going into the preseason for the Gamecocks, obviously SEC program. I really like some of the things I saw out of him tonight. I will have his final numbers later, but I know I think at halftime he had 5 rebounds and maybe a bucket or two. And then you also have a guy like Brandon Johnson. What a start to his Pirate career. He had a double-double the other night against South Carolina State, 11 points, 13 rebounds. And tonight I want to say he finished with either 10 points or maybe 11. And
7 rebounds. And Gabe, that kid with Johnson, and Coach talks about that. We'll get to his comments in a little bit, and the players. But Johnson, the great thing about him, you forget with the way he's playing like a Gabe, like a junior or senior. And the kid still has, he's still a freshman. He's going to have 4 total years. I don't see him leaving. I think he's a kid that Joe can build around. Another great member of the team, a nucleus, part of that nucleus. And I'm just really excited. I heard some good things about him. I didn't think he was going to catch on as quick as he has.
He looked very good tonight. He can finish around the basket. Strong, and he's patient. I really like his game. I think he's got some very good potential. The whole front court is very athletic, very disciplined. They play good defense. Canisius, they have some big guys that they can post up and play back to the basket. And they did a very good job stopping them. They got the rebounds that they had to get. I think they're going to be a force inside. They need those guys setting good screens for the shooters. They did that. And, you know, like we were talking before also, you know, they're not, you know, selfish. You know, when the ball went inside, right, it came back right outside, got shots that way. The front court, I was very pleased with what I saw tonight.
Gabe, you talk about unselfish play. Pirates had 19 assists tonight, and you know, you really saw it from the opening tip. I mean, you know, in the first 4 minutes, I think the Pirates scored 16 points. The other night against South Carolina State, it was very helter-skelter, you know, very little sharing of the basketball, and the Pirates only scored 4 points in the first 4 minutes, and they did not score for the first 3.5 minutes tonight. Totally different story, a complete 180. And, you know, you really saw a lot of great things. And, you know, you scored you had that significant lead early on, and then there in the middle part of the first half, you had a little bit of a lull, but then you had a couple of big buckets there when Canisius cut it down to about 5 or 6 points. It pushed the lead right back out to 10, and you know, all of a sudden at halftime, it had ballooned up to, what, 21 at 47-26?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a wire-to-wire win. ASU came out strong. They made shots. And that's something very important that you mentioned, that when the other team makes a run, if you're able to stop that run,
right,
that's a key to the game, because you're going to have up and downs during the game. Now the difference is going to be how long is that, you know, bad part of the game is going to be. If you can cut that, you know, if you don't let that go on, then you have a very good chance of winning. And ECU did that. They knew when they had to make stops, and they knew when they had to make shots. And, you know, they brought that confidence that Canisius was trying to build on. They brought that down, and they secured the game.
And, Bubba, I want to make one quick point. I know you got the game notes, and I was going to pitch it to you. But, guys, one thing I'll never forget, the late great coach from NC State, Jim Valvano, in the early 90s, he was doing television at the time, and he made a great point, because he's one of the greatest coaches ever. He said, if you look at it, most teams that are winning, the ones that are win the last 5 minutes of the first half, and they win the first 5 minutes of the second half, most of the time, they win the game. And I looked at the Pirates tonight. They really did a nice job. I was texting Bubba, because we knew, obviously, we had the show with you tonight, so we're trying to sound smart when you come on. But seriously, with the, I wanted them to finish strong that first half. I wish they had finished the second half stronger like they did the first half. But they did very well that end of the last 5 minutes and the early first 5 minutes of the second half. I thought they had control of the game. I think we'll have the game notes, and then we're going to have comments from the players and Coach Dooley in just a little bit. But what did you think about that? The last 5 minutes of the first half and the first 5 minutes of the second half tonight there in Williams Arena.
Yes, like you said, the last 5 minutes were great. Made huge baskets, and you need that going in the locker room. I mean, that's so important, going in the locker room, feeling well, getting a good lead, trying to have the other team, you know, as far away as you can. And then the second half, the first 2 minutes, Canisius tried to make a run. ECU, I think, had two turnovers at the beginning of the second half that led to, I think, 5 points. So it wasn't a great start, but it only lasted 2 minutes. After those 2 minutes, ECU regained control of the game, and they won those next 13 minutes. It was good. It was good that they focused on those areas that they're so important. The end of the first half and the beginning of the second half. Those are key moments of the game.
Taking a look at some of the game notes, like I mentioned earlier, our largest lead came at the 8:43 mark in the second half, 74-45. Going back to the first half, talking about the defensive effort, Canisius actually started off very hot from the floor, as did East Carolina. But over the final 15-plus minutes of the first half, Canisius made just 2 field goals as the Pirates played terrific defense. We've talked about the depth of this team and so many quality pieces. You had 9 East Carolina players playing at least 14 minutes tonight. And no one played more than 27 minutes. And, you know, I point that out because in the past, obviously, Jaden Gardner has moved on to the University of Virginia. But how many times would you see Jaden Gardner playing 38, 39, or even 40 minutes and playing the entire game?
And overtimes, right, Bubba?
Yeah. or 45 minutes. But, you know, Vance Jackson, that was one of the things that made this so impressive tonight to me, that we led by nearly 30 points. And Vance Jackson had 9 points, and he only played 20 minutes. And then you have Winston Tabbs, who we're going to be counting on a lot for scoring production, and he didn't even play. A lot of scoring production throughout the roster. 5 Pirates scored in double figures. And then you also had Marlon Leston out of Canada, Tay Mosher, R.J. Felton, and Alexis Reyes. And they saw their first career action in an ECU uniform.
Yes, those are good notes. And I think the bench, the ECU bench, probably really outscored Canisius' bench. The kids that came off the bench, they did a great job. I think like 3 guys scored over in double digits, probably. So if you can have that coming off the bench, I mean, that's a huge, huge help. And it makes you such a dangerous team having different players be able to score. You know, it's so hard to defend a team that has different options. So if ECU can keep that up, they can keep the rotation, you know, keep that's going to, you know, allow you to play with energy, especially in defense. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you commit fouls, you know. Some guys, you know, one of the kids, I think, had 2 fouls in the first 5 minutes. And that's okay, you know, because you have somebody coming off the bench that's going to, you know, produce. So, you know, that's a good thing that this team has.
I talked about all those guys that the Pirates had in double figures. Let's take a look at those. Leading the way was Tristan Newton. Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs had 14 points each. Tristan also pulled down 7 rebounds and had 6 assists in 26 minutes. Brandon Suggs, for those 14 points, 4 out of 5 from the floor, 6 out of 6 from the line. And that's something I know we'll talk about when I go over the team stats here in just a minute, just how well East Carolina shot free throws tonight, 20 out of 22, right at 91%. Tremont Robinson-White finished with 12 points. I think the majority of those came in the first half, and he also had 6 assists. So Tremont Robinson-White and Tristan Newton combining for 12 assists of the Pirates' 19. Alonzo Frink, like I mentioned earlier, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 out of 4 from the floor, 5 out of 5 from the line in 16 minutes. And then you had Brandon Johnson, another excellent outing in 21 minutes, 11 points and 7 rebounds.
Hey, Gabe, how about the fact that you don't have Vance Jackson scoring? As I know, we'll hear Coach Dooley talk about it, but Vance Jackson didn't make – he was close, but he didn't have the double-double. He didn't have the double digits for but we have the 5 guys right there. That's a very good sign to me. You don't have a Winston Tabbs playing, period. He's in street clothes. And Vance Jackson, you would think that the old Pirate teams of the recent past, a guy like Vance Jackson would have to score 30, like Gardner. He'd have to score 30, 40 points for us to win the game. Look at that on the screen right now for those that are watching the game, you probably watched the game, but watching our show right now. That's a very good thank you, Bubba, for doing that. You always do a great job with our graphics, but that's a great graphic to see on the screen of guys that the Tristan Newtons of the world, the Brandon Suggs, and the Tremont Robinson White, you would expect, but the Frink and having Johnson step up. Frink, I know, was going to be great at South Carolina, like we talked about, but having him do well early with the Pirates and then having Brandon Johnson, we've heard good things, but you always hear that, don't you? Like in the offseason, well, this guy is special. This guy is going to be a great contributor to the team. It's like coach speak, they're trying to be nice. I know Joe Dooley doesn't do that. But it was great to hear inside the program a guy like him and to see that translate to game. That was one thing I wanted to ask you about before we go to our post-game audio. And the team numbers I know Bob is going to do next, but I had one quick question I wanted to ask you about, knowing you'd be on with us. What's the difference, being a former player, to help me understand the difference between the practice speed And now that we've gone from the guys practicing against each other, and now we have the game speed. Game speed, I know, is faster, but how much of a difference is it between practice speed versus game speed?
There is not that much difference. There is a difference, but I think the major difference is like emotions, you know, during the game, all the emotions come into play, and that, you know, that might make you, you know, slow down, be more careful, and then eventually that makes you, you know, play a different speed. In practice, you know, you also, you know, try not to go too hard. You know, you're trying to, you know, to be careful that, you know, you don't want to, you know, get people injured or, you know, play, you know, high speed that then, you know, it doesn't really help them physically for the, you know, especially when you play the next night. So there's a difference. There's a difference. And also, you know, once you get out there on game days, the game also, you know, it speeds you up because, you know, you're so excited. So, you know, emotions play a huge, huge part, you know, and each player, you know, it's different, you know. So on game day, you know, the emotions, you know, the excitement got, you know, might make you play faster. And then I think then that also translates into the, you know, the turnovers. It's only the second game of the season. So guys maybe, you know, trying to do too much, being excited, and then you start having all these turnovers. So you got to control your emotions, and then that's going to help you control the speed of the game.
Now, let's take a look at those team stats. The Pirates shot the ball a lot better tonight, as we mentioned earlier. You know, taking a look at it, East Carolina finished 28 out of 60, so just under 50%, 46.7 to be exact. 7 out of 22 from three-point range. Shot it a lot better from three in the first half than we did the second half. I don't know the exact breakdown, but one of our viewers, I believe it was Johnny Robertson, was pointing that out just a moment ago. He was just saying that in the first two games that we've really struggled for whatever reason in the second half, shooting beyond the arc. We did finish 20 out of 22 from the free throw line, 90.9%. We out-rebounded Canisius 45 to 34. And unfortunately, we did have those 19 turnovers. A lot of those, I don't know exactly the breakdown, but if I had to bet on it, I would say probably about half of them came in the final 8.5 minutes.
Yes, those are very good stats, except the turnovers, very good stats, especially with the three-point shooting in the first half. I think that opened up the game for ECU, making those shots, especially Jackson. You know, that's what, you know, he made a couple of threes there that gave ECU the lead. And that's what you need from a senior, you know, get you going in the game. ECU shot it very well in the first half, very well from the free throw line. And then, you know, you can see there how well they play defense and the low percentage that the other team had.
No doubt, Gabe, and that very fact of one of the things I was going to ask you is with as far as three-point shooting is concerned, and being the second half, how much of that is conditioning? Not knocking that the Pirates are not in condition, but I know people are not making excuses, but when you're shooting, what I do know is coaching basketball. What I would do is I would have my kids and I would have them shoot free throws at different times of the practice on purpose, because you don't want to have it a certain time. You know that when you've been practicing hard and it's really like the fourth quarter, this case, the second half, you don't have the legs that you did earlier on in practice, earlier on in this particular case with the game. How much of that would be where you don't have the legs in the second half that you would in the first half? I'm not trying to make excuses, but just wondering how much that plays a factor.
Yes. No, it does play a factor. It does play a factor. Even though, you know, these are, you know, younger kids, you know, that, you know, they're in good shape. And but still, I mean, the game, you know, the game now is so intense that, you know, once the second half, you know, start getting to the last 10 minutes, last 15 minutes, then you start feeling that, you know, start feeling tired, and then you have the legs there to give that little push to the end of the game. And then, of course, you know, there are all the factors that also influence the three-point shot. You know, if you're playing at home or if you're playing away, you know, usually in the second half, you get the crowd more into the game. And then, you know, you had to close the game and, you know, you might get a little more tense. So you start missing those, your shots. And then also at halftime, you know, teams make adjustments, especially in defense. So, you know, that, you know, usually gets harder to take open shots once the other team made those adjustments. So there are a few factors that come into play.
And Bubba, I know that we had tonight after the game, we had comments right from Coach Joe Dooley.
Yep, obviously you were on hand there for the game tonight, and you know, collected those comments from East Carolina fourth-year head coach here in his second stint, Joe Dooley. And let's go to those comments from Coach right now.
More good things than bad. Obviously, to get out to the start we did, I thought the guys did a nice job pressuring the ball. I thought we did a good job getting down in transition and rebounding the ball. I thought, obviously, it all started on the defensive end, which made the offensive end a little bit easier because we got some good shots and some easy shots because we ran. The last 8 minutes were a debacle. A lot of self-inflicted, but I also thought it was a tribute to Canisius. You know, those guys kept playing, kept shooting. We've got to finish up a lot better. Some of the younger guys, I think, learned some lessons tonight about how you need to play and finish. But I thought overall there was more good things than bad.
You have 11 rebound advantage on him, got 20 turnovers. You seem to do a good job of getting out in transition and parlaying that into some.
Yeah, we buttons. Do. We had some segments where we played really, really well. And then we had some segments where we got a little cute. And I thought we got off the track a little bit when we had the league and we had a couple of easy transition opportunities that we turned over. I mean, it was ridiculous. We, you know, just finished the play. We don't need to be cute. We turned it over 19 times, which is not something we typically do. We need to get better at that. We had 19 assists, which is a good number. The 19 turnovers needs to get back to that 9 or 10 range. And I thought we shot the ball well from the free throw line. But our second half defense was, you know, we got a little stagnant offensively and a little cute offensively, and they made us pay on the defensive end.
As far as tonight, the effort was a lot better than Tuesday night. How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, we just looked more comfortable, looked more engaged. I don't know whether it was, but, you know, I still can't explain the way we played on Tuesday. And a lot of that was I thought State played good. I thought South Carolina State played really hard and really had us, you know, on our heels a little bit. And tonight I thought we were a little bit aggressive, especially in the first half, and I thought our guys played with a little bit more confidence.
You would think Canisius might have folded down the stretch. They heated right up at the end there. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they really did. And they shot 50-some-odd% from the three-point line. And the kid number five, I can't even say his last name, got on a roll. I mean, he was really, really good. And we talked to our guys about at halftime that they were on pace to shoot 43s. They shot 20 in the first half. They shot 35. But we guarded the three-point line well in the first half and didn't guard well in the second half. And those, you know, those things string together really quick, and they did tonight.
Another quality night at the stripe as well. That always helps.
Oh, it makes your life a lot easier. I mean, you know, they always say making shots covers a multitude of sins, and guys made free throws. We thought we shared the ball for the most part. We got a little cute for a little segment. We need to clean that up, and I think we will.
Coach, how big it will be to have Winston Tabbs back? Do you have him back soon, or do you know the time?
It's a day-to-day deal, and I think it'll really help us. I think we add another really good perimeter guy. I mean, he's a proven player, and, you know, put up real numbers in the ACC. Competitive, he can guard. I mean, we're just day-to-day, so that'll be really good because it'll continue to add depth. It was nice to have RJ back out there. He's not 100%, but it was good to have him back out there because he's going to be a big part of what we're going to do because he's just so athletic and so strong.
Western Carolina coming up next. They're giving Wake Forest fits tonight. Don't know how it's going in the second half, but it was a one-point game or so at halftime. Talk about that next game and then trying to get to 3-9.
Very aggressive, driving the ball. The kid Robinson is strong. The point guard is very aggressive getting downhill. The big kid, 33, from Kansas State, half his shot attempts, their center half of his shot attempts the other night with threes against Bowling Green, and they did a great job on the offensive backboard. They were terrific on the offensive backboard against Bowling Green, so that'll be a handful, and we'll obviously hopefully get that Wake Forest game sometime either tonight or in the morning where we can watch that and see if they did anything different than they did on Tuesday.
Coach, you have five players in double figures tonight. A big night for the Pirates as far as offensively.
Yeah, we did. You know, and it's, you know, the guys did a nice job of sharing the ball. You know, Vance had a couple opportunities to get the double figures, which would have been nice. But I did think that you know Tristan got off to a good start, and then Brandon Johnson did another job on the offensively for us. And I just thought the guys did a nice job when we shared the ball early in the game.
Frank and Johnson and Jackson, all your young guys seem to be getting a comfort level out there, and they seem to be playing well with the other guys, and there's a good acclimation process going on.
Brandon's going to be a good player. He's just so young, and he's seeing things for the first time. It's amazing how quickly he picks things up, and I think Tremont has really matured as a person and as a player, and, I mean, he's trying to help these guys, and he's telling them what to do, and I thought Tristan's floor game, with the exception of turning it over, I thought he played well, but he had some uncharacteristic turnovers. So we need to, you know, get that tightened up.
Anything else?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
And that's post-game comments there from head coach Joe Dooley here on the Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. And great, great reaction there from Coach. I think he will obviously – you and Coach Dooley will forget more about basketball than I'll ever know, Gabe. And so I really thought that he was spot on. And, again, great to see the talent that we have. And those things can be corrected as far as the mistakes that are made. You can't correct talent, right? If you don't have the talent, you don't have the talent.
Exactly. I mean, it's so important. You know, you have the base that you can build on. Coach Dooley did a great job recruiting these kids. And you can see already these young guys getting out there and producing. So there's a lot of room to grow, a lot of room. They have the weapons, and they have a great coach. So it's looking good for them.
Bubba and Gabe, I wanted to ask you guys, one of my favorite parts, my game of basketball, is I love to see a guard or I love to see a player do that dribble drive, the drive to the basket. And, you know, if it's a slam dunk, if it's a lot of good things can happen when you drive with the basketball. And the person, TRW is what I call him, Tremont Robinson White, he made some beautiful moves. So some moves tonight, he didn't finish, but hey, he's playing with more confidence. He's a mature player. Coach talked about how that. I just felt like that when you see a guy like he's, you look at the nucleus that we have before these new guys come in. You talk about a Tremont Robinson White, Tristan Newton has to be big for it. JJ Miles has to be big for us. Brandon Suggs has to be. You know, there's like those five guys. We still kept Gabe, your score. We still kept 56.4%, over 56% of our scoring is back with us this year. So it's not like a senior-led team from last year where you lost most of your scoring. You still have over half of it. Those guys have – we've got to have those guys. They did tonight, but I'm just saying moving forward this season, we've got to have those guys really take big leaps and have the young guys step up as well.
Yes, that's what the other player has to do. They have to show the way. They have to – do the games, you know, they have to get, you know, get you to a good start, and when it's a close game, they have to finish the game. That's what they are supposed to do. And yes, what you mentioned, it's so important. And I saw the same tonight. I really, really like how the ECU guards, they attack the basket. They're very vertical. Attacking the basket, drawing fouls, and being unselfish, you know, forcing defense, but making the extra pass. And there are not many guards that can do that in the one-on-one, attack the basket, drive, get in the lane. Ishiu kept doing that all night long, you know, trying to get in the paint, driving. That's key. Having, and you know, that goes back also, you know, to the talent. You know, we have kids with talent that they can drive and make those nice moves and get in the paint. Then that makes it so much easier to build your offense around that.
No doubt. And you know, guys, we talked about the fast start the Pirates got off to tonight, and a couple of the big reasons why was the play of Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs. Like I mentioned earlier, both of them finished with 14 points apiece. Tristan also had 7 rebounds, 6 assists. They did turn the ball over too much, and I know, I think you said, Dave, they addressed that in the post game. You know, maybe a little bit of a lack of focus there, particularly down the stretch. But each of them had 5 turnovers, and that's a number that certainly has to improve. But something else I want to point about, Brandon made some excellent plays on defense. He had some excellent hands on transition D and had 3 steals, did Brandon Suggs. And let's hear from Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs and their post-game remarks right now.
And got out in front on these guys. Better shooting night tonight overall. Good job on class. Talk about what they were presenting to you.
Well, Coach was telling us they're a hard crashing team. Like, they're aggressive and they're very, like, persistent with their offense. So, like, they like to, like, run the same offense, but it works for them, like, the high-low. So they were just getting on us about, like, being high-loose and getting over phase screens and stuff. So we've been working on that a lot and boxing out in practice.
You guys seem to be, like, a well-oiled machine for being in. It was the second game. How did you guys feel out there? You looked like you were having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It was fun tonight, definitely. It's always fun when you got a dub.
Tristan, 14 points from you tonight. Talk about what was working for you a little bit.
Really, it was just defense. I got most of my points in transition. It says 5 for 9 here, I think. 4 of them was layups in transition. So, really, it was just our defense and transition after that.
You guys seem to get a lot of guys involved tonight. You're still kind of getting used to one another. A lot of the new players seem like you are beginning that process. Talk about that. You got a lot of guys involved tonight.
Oh, well, we've been practicing since the summer, like, same guys. I mean, some people weren't here, like Zoe, Marlon, they was hurt or something like that. So they haven't been here for as long, but we've been working together for 5 months. So we've been practicing the same offense, and it's just normal now.
That piggyback off of that, you guys have looked like on the stat sheet 5 guys in double figures. Anytime you do that, you have a good chance to win the game.
Yeah, it's good. But we all was getting good shots, so we was feeling good in warm-ups. Everybody was feeling good. Everybody was talking. Everybody was knocking down shots, so we kind of know that it was going to be a good night for everybody, for real.
Brandon, you guys got up as much as 28 in the second half. They put on a bit of a run down the stretch. What was going on there?
I feel like we got comfortable with the lead. Like, you know, when it's like, when you up like that, you kind of get bored with success. So we kind of slacked off and allowed like 5 to hit 3s back to back, and them getting the transition, we turning the ball over. So that's when Coach got us in the huddle and stuff and timeout, talking to us, telling us to get back right, because that ain't good. That ain't good at all.
As far as Sunday goes, you got a big game here again at Williams Arena with Western Carolina. What do you guys have to do to beat them?
Well, we haven't scouted them yet, so we're going to figure that out probably tomorrow and then figure out what they do, and then just keep getting everybody involved and play defense and hopefully knock down shots, and then we'll be all right.
Tristan, one good thing you guys did tonight is you forced 20 turnovers. Mm-hmm. Defense seems to be getting better in a lot of ways in the full court defense. And talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We just try to, like, last year I don't think we, like, full court press a lot. So, like, I feel like us picking them up, like, 94 feet, we just got them tired. And then we in the help side, our teammates are really helping. So I could really press up on the ball because I know my teammates going to help me. So get in the pass lanes and get a lot of steals.
How big will it be to have Winston Tabbs back in with you guys? I know that he's a big part of the offense and a big part of the team.
Yeah, Winston, he going to be a great addition. He shoot the ball well, not well. He shoot excellent. So when we get him back, everything going to be better for real. So we can't wait to have Winston back.
Yes, good. Anyone else?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And this ECU players, Tristan Newton and Brandon Suggs, post-game comments. And just another great night here on the hardwood for the Pirates, Williams Arena. Bubba, I know. Gabe, are you going to stay around for Sunday, or you got to have to go back tomorrow, I take it?
No, I got to go back tomorrow.
Well, the big game on, obviously, Sunday. We'll have Sunday night. We'll have the Pirate basketball overtime for the Western Carolina game. Hopefully, we'll be talking about, speaking of a dub, another dub, and that will be, we have a win streak now of two games. Three, Gabe, it's like the coaching cliche, coach speak, one game at a time. We're going to take one game at a time. Well, Western Carolina's on the clock. They're a very good team. They took Wake Forest down to the wire. I know Wake Forest pulled away. I think it was a 12-point win, but still, East Carolina with our program. Joe Dooley's trying to build the team, build this program. You can't take anybody for granted. But especially when you're trying to build a program like he's trying to do. And we'll see how that, obviously, that's going to be on ESPN Plus with our friend Patrick Johnson and Cy Seymour. Those guys are doing an excellent job with that. Of course, our good friend for many years with Jeff Charles on the radio side of things with former ECU coach Michael Perry. So appreciate the radio and television broadcast doing an excellent job. Again, that'll be 4 o'clock. On Sunday at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum. Bubba, I know that we've got a few more things we want to do. Scores from around the state, American, the upcoming opponents. We've got comments. We've got promos. I know Gabe wants to go to bed at some time. Now it's early in the morning. Maybe before breakfast we can get him to bed. No, I'm kidding. but I know there's a lot of great games tonight, the basketball, and I'll pitch it to you.
Yeah, as far as that Western Carolina Wake Forest game, since the Pirates are taking on the Catamounts Sunday at 4 p.m. at Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum, Western Carolina appears to have excellent guard play. Travion McCray led the Catamounts tonight against Wake Forest, 21 points, knocked down 4 out of 7 from 3-point range. You also had Nicholas Robinson. He had 9 points and 10 rebounds. He was, I think, 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 6 from deep. So some terrific guard play for Western Carolina. So you're really going to have to see, Tremont Robinson-White, Tristan Newton, and the Pirate guards, tighten things up a little bit, as far as ball security, taking care of the basketball on Sunday afternoon.
No doubt, Bubba. It looks like, Gabe, you have more experience as being the former player. I think that in the past we would have to, because of our deficiencies as far as talent was concerned, playing in the American, we had to slow the game down. We had to use as much clock to make sure there was less possessions. If you try to run with some of these teams in the American, you could get blown out. You could be blown off the court. I think now with the talent we have, the shooters that we have, we need to take advantage of our talent and to push that ball up the floor and have the eyes when I can look and down and I see my man. They were trying to do that tonight, which was great to see. Mm-hmm. They were looking ahead, not their head down, as we teach. Obviously, you know that, Gabe. You want to have your head up so you can make that pass and look, and we need to do that. I feel like with the stars that we have on the court, we can have a really, really nice season.
Yes, because it's a very unselfish team, and that helps so much with what you're saying. You have seniors that they're not concerned about, scoring and being in double figures like it happened tonight, and they're still, doing other things for the team. So once, you have these kind of players, then you can move in the direction. You know, you have a team that can run, they can move the ball, they can find the open man, they can share the ball. And that, like, and that makes us such a dangerous team. They can really take advantage of that this season.
Taking a look at some scores from around the American, you have Houston, the 15th-ranked Cougars, and Kelvin Sampson improved to 2-0. Obviously, that tremendous Final Four run a season ago. They had defeated Hofstra, I think, by 8 points in overtime in their season opener. And tonight, they were just throttled Rice, defeating the Owls 79-46 in that crosstown matchup. Right now, you have number 13, Oregon. They're really putting it on Tim Jankovic and the SMU Mustangs. There's still 14:37 left to go, but it is the Ducks 62 and SMU 39.
Wow.
And then, next Thursday, the Pirates will be taking on Oklahoma, down in Myrtle Beach in that tournament in the quarterfinal round. And tonight, the Sooners just absolutely crushed a future conference opponent for the Pirates, UTSA, 96-44.
Oh, well.
So, tough night for the Roadrunners.
And no doubt, we've all been there. And Oklahoma's got a great team, Gabe. I was going to talk to you about that. Watch out for – I'm really excited about the Myrtle Beach Invitational with coach – obviously with basketball, these coaches do a great job with scheduling these – what we call the preseason tournaments. And I'm really tickled to death with the teams that are in the tournament. I believe the Old Dominions of the world, you've got – also in there, I believe Bubba isn't Davidson in there up in your neck. You got you and Gabe's neck of the woods.
You have Old Dominion and then Davidson as well. And Old Dominion, someone Gabe, in the last few years, they've been in the top 25. And we also play them, in the coming days after that tournament. There's a chance we could play the Monarchs twice.
Hmm. Old CAA foe, as we had a lot of great rivalries back in the day in the CAA. Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun to have them at the tournament next week. But, Bubba, I know there's other scores, right, from the state, NC with North Carolina I'm talking about, and 18 Division I schools, Gabe, in North Carolina for basketball. So
wow, that's great.
A great state.
Oh, there's so much basketball in this state. It's amazing.
Of course,
good basketball too.
Last season, Dave, App State had that tremendous run to the NCAA tournament, winning the Sun Belt Conference Championship. The Mountaineers picked up a big non-conference win tonight over East Tennessee State, and that game was being played in Boone. And then you had North Carolina being pushed to the brink by Brown.
That was crazy.
That was a one possession game in the waning minutes before the Tar Heels were able to win. I think it was 94-87, something like that. There was whatever the score, it was a 7-point margin. Then you had this was one of the shockers of the night, and I say shocker, to a lot of folks. I'm not sure what Furman is supposed to have this year. In recent seasons, Furman has been in the top 25, but Furman beat Louisville out of the ACC 80-72 in overtime. And then you
I'm sure that went well with the Louisville fans.
Yeah. And then you
know how much they love their basketball.
Number 9 Duke defeat Army 82-56.
Yeah, sorry guys. I kicked the I kicked the cord and it turned the light off. So lights out. That's the way we have to play. No doubt on Saturday, we needed to turn the lights out on them and finish them off in the second half. And maybe we'll do that. Hopefully we can do that to Western Carolina for sure. I know Bubba, obviously we've got some big things coming up. We'll promo on the show, and that is obviously tomorrow is a big football game, Gabe, we've got in Memphis. Mm-hmm. So we'll have the Pirate football playback after the game presented by L&K Custom Homes. I want to give a shout out to Kevin Walker. Thank you, sir, again for your support of the program and your great company. They do great work. If you're looking for someone to build your home and make it home improvements, L&K Custom Homes, give them a call. And I know they'll take very good care of you in the Triad area. So KK, and I'm sure if you have the money, they have the time, they'll travel. Have money, we'll travel. But they're there. Give them a call. 336-688-8461 is the number for Kevin Walker, and a licensed general contractor. Look on his Facebook page. He puts a lot of pictures up there of his great work, and appreciate his support of the program. And on Sunday, we'll have, after the game, as we mentioned, Pirate Basketball Overtime with the Pirates taking on Western Carolina. That's coming up. That's going to be awesome and good to see that. We'll have that game will be 4 o'clock. So sometime in the 7 or 8 o'clock hour, we'll have, I would imagine, that Western Carolina will be on ESPN Plus again. That'll be at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So we've got a lot of great action coming up. It's a busy time, Gabe, busy time. Yeah. With football and basketball overlapping. You remember that back
yes.
there. It's, and so no complaints. You just have to put your head down and take all the hits. So anything before, any final thoughts before we let you go and finally get some sleep? I know you probably want to kill us. So
No, I really enjoy this. And I mean, it was just amazing being back at Minges. I was able to tour the new facilities that I haven't seen, the practice court and the new offices and the Hall of Fame that I hadn't seen. I mean, it's just beautiful. Just they've done such a great job. So I'm so glad to finally have been able to make it to a game. Hopefully I can make it to many more.
And by the way, fans, by the way, I'm just going, Gabe is the good guy. I'll be the bad guy here. We need more fans on Sunday. What are you in the world you've got going on Sunday afternoon? Cancel your plans. Come see a great, exciting brand of football. 1-800-DIAL-ECU.
Basketball, too.
What's that?
I was just picking because you said come see an exciting brand of football.
I'm exhausted. Basketball, my Lord. Yeah, I know that. I'm about to fall asleep right now. But come out and see excited brand of basketball, and it's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. And get your tickets. There's no reason on Sunday afternoon, Greenville, North Carolina. And the games go by so fast, Gabe, like tonight. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a whole bunch of TV timeouts and 10-minute like gaps there. It goes by very fast, very exciting. It's very exciting brand of football basketball. I'm thinking about the football game coming up later today. So, but anyway, Gabe, thank you so much, man. We'll let you get out of here. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for all that you did for the Pirates. And thank you for your support of the program now. We need you now more than ever, my friend.
Yes, yes. I want to be there. I want to be more present. And thank you guys for having me again. It's a pleasure talking about basketball and ECU basketball.
Hopefully you won't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back.
All right. I will.
All right. Have a good night.
Gabe. Take care. Safe travel.
See you later. Right, bye-bye. Great guy. I appreciate Gabe a lot. What a great player in his own right here. Man, it could shoot the rock. We think a lot of him. And one of the reasons why we started this podcast, right, Bubba, is to honor guys like him. But by the way, before we go, I want to give a shout-out to Mark Lindsay. He helped us with the audio for tonight in the press. I had some technical difficulties. So Mark Lindsay from Pirate Illustrated, thank you, sir, for all that you've helped us out in the past. I'm sure will. But what a great professional. We're going to have him on soon. Maybe talk some recruiting, Pirate football, basketball. He's such a busy guy. We'll try to work out his schedule. Bubba, speaking of which, we'll make one more promotion of next Tuesday, I believe it is. We've got a big big show on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we do. We'll talk to Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. We'll catch up with Mike late on Tuesday. And at that point, hopefully the Pirates will be 3-0 and coming off a win over Western Carolina and getting ready to head down to the Myrtle Beach Invitational to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. So look forward to talking East Carolina and AAC basketball with Mike, as well as a variety of other topics. We'll also talk a little college football because he's written some excellent articles talking about the college football playoff committee's treatment of the Cincinnati Bearcats. And it's just not right. And
No, it's not.
You know, he has some excellent insight and, you know, thoughts on that topic. So we'll talk college basketball first and foremost, but also a little college football with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network. You can see him in studio there on the Big Ten Network on a regular basis with their college basketball coverage. And then next Thursday, we'll have the Pirate Preview with Pete Medhurst, the Navy play-by-play voice, as we get ready for what will be Game 11. And hopefully it'll be you know, the Pirates trying to get win 7, but we'll see. Hopefully we can get win 6 later on today against the Memphis Tigers. And then I failed to mention also on Tuesday, in addition to Mike DeCourcy, we'll also be talking East Carolina women's basketball, as we'll have head coach Kim McNeil on. And the ladies are off to a 0-2 start, but hopefully they'll get the offense cranked up and you know, get some wins here in the very near future. And they fell 70-49 to Middle Tennessee State in their opener before losing to High Point earlier tonight, 60-50 at High Point.
Yeah, they played really well in the third quarter. I don't know why I didn't get a chance to, unfortunately, watch the fourth, as all that debacle was going on with the men's team. So that, but anyway, we love Coach McNeil and look forward to having her on. Bubba, dude, thank you so much for all your hard work, my friend. Thanks to Gabe. Thanks to all our viewers. And we had a lot going on tonight. So thank you so much for your patience for trying to get home and do this show. And we'll have our, like Bubba said, we'll have the Pirate football playback after the game. Appreciate you guys so much. You've been watching the and listening to the Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good morning, everybody. Go Pirates!